Is that better? Ah. Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, and it's on page 965 in the Church Bibles. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Thank you, Karen. Well, that was a story about the baby. At that point, he couldn't say anything. In our series of Christmas meetings this year, so last week, this week, tonight, and next Saturday, Christmas Day, we're hearing what Jesus the grown-up said. So when he was a man, how did he explain why Christmas happened? How did Jesus the adult explain why he was born as a baby to grow up to be a man? And our next talk in this series is from Rhys this morning. So Rhys is going to come to the front now and teach us that. Come out there.
Hello. Cool. Let me pray before we start. Father God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that it reveals things to us. Please help us to understand it today. Amen. So, as we just had a reading from Matthew, Christmas is about Jesus' birth. But why was Jesus born? Why was Jesus born? That's our big question today. Was it so that 2021 years later, we could once a year give presents to people, to friends and family? Was it so that 2021 years later, we could stuff our faces with turkey, cranberry, and for some people, Brussels sprouts? I mean, if Jesus came all that time ago, that we could have a wonderful time with family and open presents and sing songs and eat more in a day than we could usually in a week, that's a pretty good reason to be born, isn't it? I doubt any of us will have an event 2020 years in the future with loads of food and presents being given. But the truth is that Jesus, 2,000 years ago, didn't say, "For this reason, I have come to start the tradition of handing presents to each other, eating lots of food, and to give you a couple of bank holidays." In our passage today, it says, Jesus was born to testify to the truth. It says, "In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth." Not in the passage we just read, but we're going to read another passage in a second. But who here today is interested in truth? Are people interested in truth, or are people not interested in truth? Most people are interested in truth, yeah. And what we're going to see, we're going to see that Jesus was born to show the truth. King Jesus was born to show the truth. Truth nowadays is quite hard to tie down. I'm sure many of you would agree. From Trump in recent years screaming fake news at anything he dislikes, to the countless waves of false information on social media, such as TikTok or Facebook. One post goes up nowadays on anything that creates in us emotion, and truth goes out the window. People will share and like and retweet to their heart's galore, but none the wiser whether it's true. You probably see lots of things on these social media sites, but what is true? Can you put the first picture up, please? Next one, yeah, cool. In school, many times in the past, I got sent out of class, but sometimes it wasn't my fault. Sometimes the person next to me would be talking a lot, keep talking, and I'd say, can you be quiet? But then the teacher would say, you go out. I'm sure, has that happened to other people in here? Yeah. Well, it's not fair, and we want people to know what the truth is. We do care about the truth. And in our story today, which we're going to read in a second, we have Jesus, the Jews, and Pilate. Jesus says he speaks the truth. How will they react? In this story, we're going to see who really cares about the truth. In the book of John, which is the good news about Jesus, written by John, we have seen many, many great things happen before this point. We've seen healings. We've seen 5,000 people get fed with a few loaves of bread. And Jesus recently has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus says that he is the only way to know God. No one can know God without him. But now he is about to go on trial. The leaders of his own people don't want to listen to what he has to say. They don't like what he has been doing. They don't like that he heals people. They don't like that he teaches great things. So they've arrested him and taken him to the Roman governor. And we're now going to have our first reading from this passage. If you go back, actually. Thanks. No, that one. This is my Pilate and Jesus. So reading from verse 28. It's on the screen, 1086 page. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. But now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked,
what charges are you bringing against this man?
If he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. Pilate said,
take him yourselves and judge him by your own law.
But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him,
are you the king of the Jews?
Is that your own idea? Jesus asked. Or did others talk to you about me?
Am I a Jew?
Pilate replied.
Your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?
Jesus said,
my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now, my kingdom is from another place.
You are a king, then,
said Pilate. Jesus answered,
you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me.
And Pilate said,
"What is truth?"
So Pilate, the Roman governor, the judge in this trial, asks someone who's likely probably wants, he probably wants to do things correctly, "What charges are you bringing this man? What argument do you have for this man to be punished?" And they responded, "If he were not a criminal, we would not have handed him over to you." They may as well have said, "Who do you think we are? Of course, we're always right. And you should trust our word, because what we say is the truth and nothing but it." If we can have now, guys, if I told you that I was best friends with Spider-Man, would you believe me? No. Okay. Probably not. And if I just told you and I said, "I've got no pictures, I've got no evidence, I've got no proof at all," would you believe me? No, exactly. And that's what these people were doing about Jesus, the Jews. They had no proof and they want to send him to die. They don't care about the truth. If you just go next slide now. Thank you. They don't care about the truth. They just want Jesus to die. They're not interested in what Jesus and what he has to say. But what about Pilate? He seems like he could be interested in the truth. Well, his question to them is good. He seems like he is interested in what Jesus has done. When they gave him a bad opening statement, he gets annoyed with them. And he tells them to leave and punish Jesus themselves if they haven't got a good reason. Maybe Pilate is interested in the truth. So Pilate speaks with Jesus alone. As we just saw, he decides to investigate. Is Jesus speaking the truth? Is he someone who deserves to die? So he asks him questions. Why would your own people be so desperate to kill you? Pilate, like many good lawyers today, wants to know what Jesus has done. It seems he wants to know the truth. And they carry on speaking, and Pilate says, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." Jesus doesn't deny that he's a king. He's given insight into what sort of kingdom he's going to run. But now he reveals what sort of king he is. He is the king who speaks the truth. The truth is why he came. Jesus speaks it. When Jesus said he is the only way to know God, he is the only way you can have a relationship with God. It is only listening to these words and trusting them as the truth. Up until this point, Pilate has seemed interested in the truth. Now Jesus puts it forward. "I am of the truth. Will you listen to it? Will you listen to my words? Will you listen to me, the one who can give you a relationship with God?" And Pilate says, "What is truth?" Well, he was just told what the truth is. It's listening to Jesus. And the fact he leaves immediately after asking that question, it is clear to see his response was a question with no interest in the truth that sits before him. But will he change his mind? Will some people come to their senses and see that Jesus is speaking the truth? We're now going to read the second half of the passage. And when the parts in the passage that are quoted by the chief priests and Jews and crowd come up, please feel free to say it as well, to join in as the crowd. So reading from What is Truth.
"I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?
They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in an uprising. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they slapped him in the face. Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews gathered there,
"Look, I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I find no basis for a charge against him."
When Jesus came out wearing the crowns of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them,
"Here is the man."
As soon as the chief priests and officials and their officials saw him, they shouted, "Crucify! Crucify!" But Pilate answered,
"You take him and crucify him. As for me, I find no basis for a charge against him."
The Jewish leaders insisted, "We have a law, and according to that law, he must die, because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid, and he went back inside the palace.
"Where do you come from?"
he asked Jesus. But Jesus gave him no answer.
"Do you refuse to speak to me?"
Pilate said.
"Don't you realize I have power either to free you or to crucify you?"
Jesus answered,
"You would have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin."
From then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jewish leaders kept shouting, "If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. Anyone who claims to be a king opposes Caesar." When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was a day of preparation of the Passover. It was about noon.
"Here is your king,"
Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, "Take him away, take him away, crucify him."
"Shall I crucify your king?"
Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priests answered. Finally, Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. The truth is rejected by all. The truth is rejected by everyone in this story. Three times he was declared not guilty by Pilate, yet still delivers him over to suffer and die. Pilate rejects the truth. Three times the Jewish authorities have had a chance to say, "No, don't kill him." But they rejected him. The final time they say they have no king but Caesar, the Roman leader. They completely reject the truth, Jesus. They completely reject God. They all reject the truth. The Jews do. Pilate does. When the truth is in front of you, it's easy to think you will accept it. It's easy to think, "Yes, of course I would support the truth." But the truth is that everyone rejected the truth. Jesus' friends had abandoned him, and now everyone had turned against him. All of us would have fell into one of those categories of people. There are many ways in which we do reject Jesus, the truth. Maybe children, sometimes after Sunday school, you finish and you think Sunday school is over, and you grab your piece of paper you did in Sunday school and you throw it in the bin and you don't look at it again. Jesus says his words are the only way to know God. So let's listen to them. If we are a Christian here today, we still do reject his words at times. When we listen to Jesus' words like today, do we cherish them? Do we think about them? Or do we sometimes leave, not giving his words barely another thought for the rest of the week? His words lead to life with God. These words should have priority over any other words you ever listen to. Does that reflect in your life? I don't know when you have your Bible times. But do you read your Bible throughout the week? Does sometimes an extra 20 minutes of sleep mean we don't read the Bible? Or maybe an extra episode of TV mean we're too tired to read the greatest true words there's ever been? Maybe some of you read it all the time and never allow anything to get in the way. Great. But is it just a routine? Are you ticking a box? Are you truly listening to these words of life? Or just getting it done for the day? Some of us will be in these examples. Some of us may have periods when we are a mixture of these examples. I know I am. Remember that because of Jesus' words of truth, we have a relationship with God. The Father today, because of Jesus. So don't be discouraged. It's wonderful news. This is wonderful that we have access to such true words. So true that listening to them brings us into relationship with Father God. If you're not a Christian here today, and truly are someone who believes in the truth, then look no further. Listen to the truth, Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to know God but through Jesus. Will you listen? Or will you reject like the Jewish leaders and Pilate did? So why was Jesus born all those years ago? It wasn't to start the Christmas tradition. It wasn't so that we could hand presents to each other. It wasn't so that we could eat turkey and cranberry on the 25th of December each year. These are all wonderful things. But ultimately, Jesus was born to testify to the truth. And let me pray. And Father God, thank you so much that 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born, and that it was to testify to the truth. And that if we listen to his truth, we can have a relationship with you. And we thank you so much for this. And please help this to be the main thing we think about over Christmas. Amen.